I'm Majid Mohseni, and I am a professor here at the Department of Chemical and Biological Engineering at the University of British Columbia.
And can you tell me about RISO Center for Mobilizing Innovation? What work are you doing there?
The RISO Center for Mobilizing Innovation is a Canadian not-for-profit organization based at the UBC Faculty of Applied Science. Our mandate is to bring innovative solutions that addresses drinking water challenges that many of our small communities and indigenous communities across the country are facing in terms of access to clean drinking water.
Yes, and in 2018, the Trudeau government made a pledge to eradicate all drinking water advisories in First Nations communities by March 2021. And obviously, that did not happen, but I was hoping that you could tell our listeners about the work that you did at the Tsleil-Waututh Nation.
And near Fort St. James, yes. Tsleil-Waututh Nation is an Indigenous community. It's about an hour and a half from Fort St. James. Of course, it has a couple of reserves. The particular reserves that we work with, Middle River community, it's about an hour and a half. 70 kilometers of that is a logging road that is very challenging when it comes to access, particularly at certain times of the year, whether it's during the spring melt or thaw time or early fall when there are floods and so on. So the community has had significant challenges in terms of their water quality. It's a very small community, very remote, as I explained. And the challenge with the community was that because they don't have resources, both in terms of human capacity, but also financial resources, and also they are very remote. Having or ensuring that their water is safe and clean has been a challenge. Throughout the years, many times the government attempted to improve their water quality. And in fact, they invested significant amount of resources to have a drinking water treatment system for the community in late 1990s or early 2000s. But unfortunately, the technology that was implemented was very inappropriate for the community of this size and this remoteness. So after a couple of years, the system broke down fully, and the community went under boil water advisory and was under advisory for many years. What we did in partnership with the community, what we tried to do is really engage the community and try to approach it from a different angle, meaning that listen to the community, listen to what they need and what they can afford and what is their priority in terms of water quality and how they want to have the treatment system to work for them. So through the work and close collaboration with the community and also bringing other partners from outside, from industry, from government, we were able to install it. Very innovative technology for the community late 2018, early 2019, which ended their 14-year boil water advisory. And since then, the community has had the opportunity to have clean water.
That's wonderful. And what was the technology that you implemented in their community? And also, how much agency do the people of the Tsleil-Waututh First Nation have to manage it and do upkeep on it if necessary?
Right. So the technology was something that was originally developed at UBC in the work that we have been doing at the university. It's a very simple technology that to some extent relies on the use of bacteria to remove some of the organic contaminants. What we call is biological ion exchange. So without going into any details. It's simply a column that has some media or some particles inside the column. So as the water goes through the column, the contaminants absorb on the media, and the clean water leaves from the outside or from the bottom. So the contaminants, as they are absorbed or are retained in the media, over the course of the time, the bacteria, natural bacteria, are going to grow in the media, in the filter, and they degrade the organic contaminant. So without really needing any particular chemicals or any significant amount of energy, we are able to remove the organic contaminants that are have been or generally in many communities are part of the problem when it comes to drinking water quality. So with that process, we were able to implement this solution. And so what happened was that when we were working with the community, with the residents, with the elders and the water operators, we brought this idea to them. We said, okay, well, this is a technology that we have. The community, knowing that many of the past attempts failed in their community, they jumped on it and then said, we would like to try it out. So at the will of the community, we brought the technology there and we tested it over a year. And during these times, we had the community water operator and also other members of the community to observe. And also the water operator, in fact, provided us a lot of input as how they wished the final solution should look like and how he wanted this to be operated. So through those inputs and feedbacks that we got from the water operator and the community's leadership and the residents, we went back and brought the industry and government, Indigenous Services Canada, to install the full-scale treatment systems. And that was eventually installed in late 2018. So the community members and the water operator have been or were involved all along.
Yeah. That's excellent. Now, I was wondering if you could tell me and our listeners about the Mobilizing Symphony Water for Seasons project. How did you connect with Pazzini consort conductor Aram Kacek, and how did this project come to be?
This goes back to, as we were just talking about, the need for us to connect with the people, the need to connect with the community members, the need to connect with the nature and the land. What has been the problem in Canada, and still is the problem in many communities that don't have access to water, is that engineers, when they are trying to implement a solution, they only look at the problem from a purely technical lens. And as part of this, we disconnect ourselves from the nature and also the traditional knowledge that exists there. So through the experiences that we had and the feeling and the realization that we must engage with people and talk to them and learn from their knowledge, we reached out and we made efforts to reach out to other disciplines outside the engineering. And this particular group in Italy came with the same mindset that they wanted to look outside the box and see how they can bring the message that climate change has and how the environmental issues have on communities through the music. So with that similar mindset and similar strategies, we felt that there is a good opportunity for us to join forces to bring the issues through the music. And because with music, we are able to connect with people. We are able to engage in conversations with ordinary people because there is so much knowledge that exists, especially among the residents of remote communities. They are the people who live their lives on the land. They know the land much better. So if we can learn from them, if we can have the opportunity to share stories with them, we are able eventually to find solutions that are going to be more sustainable. So that's really the backdrop of, or the background around how we interacted with this particular group that is also in their areas are quite innovative. They are just trying to bring some stories to the public through music.
And so, and your research, it gives you much insight into the relationship of water and life in Canada. What are your hopes for future generations of First Nations communities specifically still reliant on water boil advisories? And what do you think our government should be doing to eradicate this systemic negligence and abuse of First Nations communities?
Well, one of the things that, in general, historically, the government policies ignored was really the voice of the communities, listening to the community members, listening to what they want. And this is something that government is now trying to address, and we hope that this is not just a talk, and in fact, in action comes to that as well. Recently, you may have noticed there was a report by Auditor General that said the same thing, is that government policies really over the years have failed in Indigenous communities in terms of access to drinking water. So what it means is that the government needs to change its policies and how it works with communities. Communities want to have self-government. They want to have self-determination. So which means that they want to be part of the solution development. They want to be part of the developing the solution that they want to have for their communities on their various issues that they are facing, including drinking water. So one thing that I hope is that we all, and not only from government side, but also as Canadians, we can recognize that in the spirit of reconciliation. We must recognize the fact that communities have the voice, and their voice must be heard and must be considered when we are trying to find a solution for their drinking water. And this is not unique to Indigenous communities as well. Many of our communities across the province and across the country, small communities, I mean, they are facing similar challenges when it comes to drinking water. In BC, at any given time, we have hundreds of boil water advisories. So for all of those, we must recognize that the communities must be consulted, must be at the table when we are trying to develop a solution for them. So that's what I'm hoping, that as part of the World Water Day, that we are trying to raise the awareness around water, we can also recognize the fact that we must work together in partnership with communities in order to address their problems.
Yes, absolutely. And very well put.
And I think I really appreciate the fact that you're discussing water on this day, as you pointed out. Clean drinking water is something that many of us, particularly in urban areas, we take for granted. We open our tap without really thinking that where it comes from and how it's treated and how it gets to our tap so clean. And realizing that so many people don't have access to water is something very important. And also another thing that I would like to mention is that there are the fact that we get our clean water at our house in our tap, we must appreciate all the work that goes to make that water clean for ourselves. And those that the work that many water operators do, they are generally unsung heroes for our clean water. And we must recognize their contribution to bringing us clean water. especially in larger cities, we don't recognize the value that they bring. In the smaller communities, their contribution is more recognized, but I'm hoping that in general we value them because they are really the frontline workers. During the pandemic, the fact that we were able to have our clean water is just because they worked hard to make sure that the water that comes to our tap is clean.
I appreciate you bringing that into the conversation as well. Well, thank you so much for speaking with me today, Dr. Mohsini. It's been a very enlightening conversation.
Thank you very much for the interest, and all the best, and happy World Water Day.
Happy World Water Day to you too.
Bye.
Bye-bye.